Hello? Anybody here? Anybody listening? It's me, Ethan. Remember me? I'm back. I know it's been a long, long time, but hey, I just needed a few years of syncopation hibernation. What can I say? But I'm back, and I'm ready to give you some more Carolina Shout podcast. But this time I'm going to ease my way back into things, if you don't mind. Instead of doing a big, fat, juicy episode, pushing my finger muscles to their physical limits, and playing song after song after song after song, this episode, I'm just going to play one song. But not a measly, piddly song with like three notes in it. A big, fat one that I think you're going to enjoy. It's going to have at least 10 notes in it. You'll like it. And you may remember in the podcasts of old, I would add commentary that would push my wit to its physical limit as well. I would make dad jokes until your knees were raw from knee slappers and your humeruses ached from all the humor. Well, now I'm only going to make one joke per episode. Just one. That's it. I'm sorry. Those are my rules. One joke limit. And here's my one joke for this episode. Ready? Why did the ragtime piano player cross the road? To get the Chinese newspaper. Get it? Well, to be honest, I don't get it either. I get the New York Times. Well, I seem to have blown through my self-imposed joke limit in a very irresponsible way. And I apologize for that. But maybe right before the end of the episode, at the very last moment, after tense negotiations, maybe we can come up with a deal to raise the joke ceiling. I'm cautiously optimistic that we can find common ground. And in the meantime, how about some piano music? I said I'd play something big, fat, and juicy. So I'm going to play a rousing march called the New York Hippodrome March, by John Philip Sousa. Now, before I play it, let me tell you why, out of Sousa's 130 marches or so, I chose to learn this one. You see, I had a concert a few weeks ago in a pianodrome, and I thought it would be fun to play something about a hippodrome in a pianodrome. So, let's step back for a second. There's a lot to explain. I bet many of you don't know what a pianodrome or a hippodrome is, and that's okay. They don't teach that in school. But they teach it on the Carolina Shout podcast. So, let's start with the pianodrome. What is a pianodrome? Well, a pianodrome is a small amphitheater made out of pianos. You see, this concept was invented in 2017 by two gentlemen in Scotland who got the idea to take old, worn-out pianos destined for the dump and to upcycle them into an amphitheater. So they assembled a team of over 100 volunteers, and they disassembled God knows how many pianos, and they reassembled them into a small amphitheater that seats about 100 people. 100 Scottish people, about 75 Americans. Anyway, it's very hard to describe this without seeing it, but I'll do my best to describe it. It's like bleacher seating. It is bleacher seating, like wooden pews. And there's a staircase on the side so you can climb up easily and find a seat. And it's a circle, like a football stadium, but much, much, much smaller and very intimate. And down in the center, of course, is a small performance space for everyone to watch and enjoy. And for my concert, there was a grand piano down there. And wow, the construction of a pianodrome is a massive undertaking. They had a big team of volunteers, a few professional carpenters, an architect, engineers, and even a doula. Yes, they had a doula on the team to help them through the process. Kate and I had a doula to help us, well, to help mostly Kate, through the birthing process. And yeah, I get it. A doula could help you build a pianodrome. They're very helpful, certainly. So if you go to the Pianodrome website, you could read more about it, see pictures, and they have a nice short documentary about the conception and construction of the first Pianodrome in Edinburgh. It's really fun to watch, and it's heartwarming as well. And someone in the documentary described the Pianodrome as a giant mahogany hug, which is a wonderful way to put it. So yes, I was fortunate to be able to perform in a Pianodrome, but not the original Pianodrome in Scotland. I performed in the first American Pianodrome, which was built for a citywide festival here in Charlotte called Charlotte Shout. Yes, that's very similar to Carolina Shout, and my lawyers are on the case. But for the Charlotte Shout, they invited these two Pianodrome designers from Scotland over here to Charlotte, and they assembled a big team of American volunteers, and over a period of about a month, they worked on the first American Pianodrome. They did all their work in a warehouse nearby, and I would have helped out with all, but all that woodworking, you know, I have to protect my hands from splinters. It's in my piano podcasting contract. No woodworking and no Chinese finger traps. I have to be very careful. So without my help, they built a Pianodrome and transported it from the warehouse into a historic church that's now an event space. And voila, Charlotte became the first home of the first American Pianodrome. And when I arrived at the concert, well, at first, I was very underwhelmed, to be honest. Well, that was because I went to the wrong church, and there was no Pianodrome there. And then I realized my mistake, and I had gone to a church down the block, which for some reason I thought the Pianodrome was at. I got confused. And then I went to the correct church, and I was very impressed. I felt like I was looking at the eighth wonder of the world, right up there with the Panama Canal. And I was privileged to give three concerts in the American Pianodrome, and it was a wonderful experience, and I hope to do it again. And I am pleased to hear that they are trying to keep the Pianodrome in that desanctified church come performance space. Last I heard, they are still working that out, so I certainly hope it stays there. And it makes me proud to live in the only American city with a Pianodrome. Kudos to the Charlotte Shout Festival for making it happen. Maybe I won't sue you guys for stealing the Carolina Shout name. I appreciate the hard work you've done and your vision. Okay, moving on. So I thought it would be fun to play a festive march in the Pianodrome when I was in the Pianodrome. So I chose John Philip Sousa's New York Hippodrome March. Hippodrome, Pianodrome, they go together. And a hippodrome is not that different from a Pianodrome. A Pianodrome is made from upcycled pianos, and a hippodrome is made from upcycled hippos. Let me explain what a hippodrome is. Hippo is actually the Greek word for horse. Hippopotamus literally means river horse. And hippocampus, which is a part of the brain, actually means sea monster. I don't know why they call a part of the brain a sea monster, but that's true. And the word hypocrisy is like democracy. But instead of being a government led by the people, it's a government led by horses, which is problematic because when it comes to voting yay or nay, anyway, back to the hippodrome. Hippo is Greek for horse, and drome is Greek for racetrack. So literally, a hippodrome is a horse racetrack. But the New York Hippodrome was not a horse racetrack. It was not a literal hippodrome. There were no horses racing at the hippodrome. It was a theater. They just called it a hippodrome because they wanted it to sound fancy. Kind of like how there's a shopping center near me called the Arboretum, but it's not an arboretum. Kind of like that. So the Hippodrome Theater opened in 1905, and they had quite an interesting program for opening night. Let me read what Wikipedia has to say about this. The performance was a 4-hour extravaganza. The first act was called A Yankee Circus on Mars and featured spaceships, horses, elephants, acrobats, clowns, including the noted Spanish clown Marceline, and a baboon named Coco, an orchestra of 60, hundreds of singers, and 150 dancers performing to Ponchielli's Dance of the Hours. The second act was called Andersonville, about the notorious Confederate military prison where many Union soldiers were maltreated. The spectacle depicted the Union raid on the camp, with gunfire, explosions, and cavalry troops on horseback swimming across a huge water tank simulating a lake. Wow. I wish I could have been there for that. You would think that John Philip Sousa was involved in this somehow. Maybe they had commissioned him to write a march for the opening of the theater. That would have been the icing on the cake. But it turns out that Sousa's Hippodrome March was not composed until 10 years later. In 1915, the Sousa Band was featured in a long-running show at the Hippodrome called Hip Hip Hooray, and it was for this engagement that the New York Hippodrome March was composed. Now, I googled this Hip Hip Hooray show, and you can find on the New York Public Library's website the actual program and souvenir booklet from the show. And this looks like a fun show as well. There seems to have been quite a lot of variety in it. Let me tell you about it. It started out with a vocal group dressed up like cats in an act called Cat Cabaret. Eat your heart out, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Then there were a few more vocal numbers. Then a Guatemalan marimba band, which I'm sure my wife Kate would have enjoyed because she used to play the marimba. And then there was a musical scene in Chinatown, which I suspect was racially insensitive, and that would have been a good time to go get a concession. And then there were a few more vocal numbers, and then the Sousa Band played three marches, including the New York Hippodrome March. Then there was an intermission, and the second half was a ballet set in Switzerland, and it featured ballet ski jumping, which sounds intriguing to me. Although hard to compete with the Hippodrome opening night 10 years prior. If you remember, that was the one with the Yankee Circus on Mars, Coco the Baboon, the violent liberation of Confederate prison, and the world-famous Spanish clown, Marceline. That, I'm sure, was very hard to top. But still, Hip Hip Hooray seems to me like a strong program. Sousa Band, Guatemalan marimbas, ski-jumping ballet, people dressed up like cats and singing. This all sounds very entertaining. And now we're getting very close to me actually playing the New York Hippodrome March. But I have one more thing to say about it, just a short thing. There's a part in the Hippodrome March that sounds like horses galloping, or trotting, or cantering, I don't know. But I think Sousa put that in there on purpose, because he knew that Hippodrome meant horse racetrack, and he probably wanted to evoke the sound of horses to make the march sound hippodromey. I'm going to play for you the horse-sounding part in isolation right now before I play the whole piece. So here are the horses. Didn't that sound like horses? That's got to be horses. Doesn't it sound like I'm riding a horse right now? Whoa! Whoa! Slow down, Jack! Whoa! Okay, now I have pointed out everything I wanted to point out about the New York Hippodrome March, and I'm finally ready to play it in its entirety. Giddy up! Thank you. there you have it, the New York Hippodrome March by John Philip Sousa, straight out of 1915, as heard in the show, Hip Hip Hooray, right before intermission, right after the Guatemalan Marimba Band. And another interesting thing about this march was that the manager of the Hippodrome Theater arranged to have 200 theaters around the world perform it at the exact moment on Sousa's birthday. Pretty amazing. I would love something similar for my birthday. So let's arrange to have 200 devices around the world play the Carolina Shout podcast on my birthday, August 15th at 1:37 a.m. East Coast time. So mark your calendar, set your alarm. Sorry, 1:37 a.m. is probably very inconvenient for many, but that's my birthday. I can't change it. So, I'm Ethan Uslan, and I'll have another episode in another few weeks or a month or so. I haven't decided, but I'm going to make it happen. I'll have another episode, I promise, and I'm looking forward to it. So thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.